This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, the podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Batoon, and in this episode, I'm joined by one of my best friends, Amanda Souk, to talk friendship, emotional evolution, and what finding your passion actually feels like. You came in and you said you saw something that reminded you of me, but you were going to show me in person because we were about to see each other.
Yes.
And then it was, can you pull it up?
Yeah.
I love it so much.
It's a Rupi poem she just posted on Instagram today. And not to say that I'm like not a huge fan, because I am. I just not to the point of like me following her on Instagram.
So you found this on like your Explore page or something?
No, like a few people that I like follow, friends with, had shared it on their stories. Mm. And when I saw it, I thought of you, because we always talk about evolving. Mm-hmm. So this one is called Always Evolving. It says, I will never have this version of me again. Let me slow down and be with her. Oh my gosh, I didn't know we were going to a poetry reading. This morning.
I love that you're snapping for yourself.
As if I wrote it.
I love that so much because I feel like I'm always trying to get to the next version of me. And I feel like I'm not excited for where I am until right now. Like, I feel like now I've finally gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, I actually love where I'm at. And I was listening to another like thought leader in kind of like the new age space of they were saying like, you can't evolve unless you are happy with where you are now. Mm. Like, if you're not happy, you're not gonna graduate to the next level because you're not accepting.
Yeah, because then you're not actually moving in like an upward trajectory. It kind of feels like you're in the same maybe plane, but just moving from like one spot to another.
Like lateral moves.
Yeah, lateral moves versus linear.
Yeah.
Lateral is still linear.
Lateral
like
is aligned.
Vertical. I was like, wait, we're off to a great start. I did graduate.
Do you feel like you've evolved since last year?
I'm like, sorry, what's time? 20. So like, I know. As in last year, you mean as in like 2020 pandemic? Like, are we counting 2020 anything?
I think we have to. I guess my question is like, have you evolved through the pandemic?
I would say so. I mean, as much as I wanted to pull my hair out and cry more often than not, because it was definitely one hell of a year, a lot of stretching. Yeah. I think it would be impossible for me to say that I hadn't grown. And I think that I did actually some of my best growing during that time. I mean, we were kind of only left with ourselves, right? During that time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think for me, I didn't really have a choice. I had to kind of face the things that I, on any normal given year, would have maybe been putting off because I was distracted or keeping myself busy with all these other things and wouldn't address certain things in my life because, you know, quote unquote, I didn't have time for it. When really I did, I think I just, you know, busy became an excuse, and I didn't realize busy became an excuse until everything slowed down.
How crazy is it that when we say busy, it's like things that don't really matter?
Yeah, busy with things that don't matter specifically.
Like
that.
Actually, like when we're like, oh, we're so busy, we have to like get all these things done. But it's like, we should be busy with checking in with ourselves and going like, what do we need right now? I think my biggest lesson was like listening to my body in this past year of understanding, even if everything seems fine, there's like collective trauma from a pandemic that's like being stored in your body.
Well, also physically, I would say, I would say your body likes to tell you when to slow down too.
Oh, if there's any. Oh, me? Yeah. Me specifically?
Yeah, you specifically.
For everyone listening, she's referring to the amount of hemorrhoids that I have.
Well, that and your concussion.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have like a lot of body issues. Here's the thing, like, it's so funny that, you know, like when I first started my YouTube channel and we were living together like 5 years ago, is like I would really rely on being clumsy as being funny.
Oh, right.
But like, that's like part of me. And so I think that like when people are like watching my videos, they're like, can someone tell Megan that like clumsy is not a personality trait? And it's like, yo, I wish I could change this. Like only then I relied on it because I didn't think I was funny enough without it. But now I'm just getting hurt and like it's starting to become a problem.
Well, I'm glad you're finally like noticing things. I mean, hopefully we can take preventative measures in the future versus like an aftermath kind
of
thing.
Like baby proof my entire house. Is that what you're asking?
No, you're not a baby.
Oh my God.
It's not that. But speaking of past you.
I was about to say, speaking of babies, I thought we were about to go down that road.
Oh, gosh. No, not yet. Though my mom did ask me the other day.
Wait, what did she say?
She's like, you know, well, she was just talking about herself in that, like, how she had to stop trying, essentially, by the time she was 40. And I think, like, nowadays, women can have babies past their 40s, like early 40s. I've seen women have healthy pregnancies. But my mom was like just saying how in our family, she was worried about me and my sisters because like knowing that she couldn't have babies past 40, she thinks that we all have like a deadline, like a hard out.
Right.
Hard out. No longer have babies.
Well, I guess. But, yeah. I mean like genetically, maybe she has something there, but yeah, we should take a fertility test. It's like us at 23 taking like Enneagrams and Myers-Briggs us now taking modern fertility tests.
I mean, I told you that I follow modern fertility.
Yeah.
I still haven't pulled the trigger on buying the kit, but
I bought a kit 2 years ago on Black Friday as a joke. Well, it wasn't a joke. It was like, hey, this is a good deal for Black Friday. Like 2 years ago I was buying like rugs and now I'm like, okay, I'm going to need this. And I just still haven't done it.
Did you buy the fertility kit after you picked expecting as your word at that magic show?
Oh my God. Yes.
I only bring that up because I told you I saw it on Hulu like last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh my God, this is the show that Megan was talking about. And I didn't realize until after I watched the entire thing, because I didn't get it until at the end of the show when he's going
when
through the
you
audience.
See it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I was like, oh.
If anyone listening has ever heard my most embarrassing story, I think I told it with Brian McElhaney on one of our episodes on this podcast. But if you want to see the visual component to it, In and of Itself by Derek Delgadio is on Hulu, and you will see exactly the environment in which I was humiliated for my entire life.
I'm just imagining the, you guys have to watch it to also really put yourself in the scenario, because when I'm watching it,
mortifying.
The room is so quiet.
Oh my God.
It's so high emotions.
Honestly.
And I'm just imagining.
It's the coup de grace of the entire magic show, right? It's the end.
He's done it's like the finale.
He's done like the most insane illusions. It's not even magic anymore. It's sorcery. And then at the very end, it is so dead quiet. And he's going one by one and everyone is standing up. And when he got to me, it was like such an intense thing because he thought I was pregnant that he stopped. Like he was like, you are a this, you are a teacher, you are a mother, you are a lover, da da da. And he gets to me and he just stops. And then it's like even more dead quiet. And then he was like, you're expecting. And it was like, oh my God. Oh God.
Oh God. I was like, I was trying to be so in. I was watching with my current roommate, and we were like just blown away at how fascinating and just highly intelligent and highly emotional it was. And then I just like, in this like really like quiet, deep moment, I just started laughing because I thought of you.
Because you were watching it and didn't know that that was the show.
No, not until
That's
the end.
That's so funny.
Not until the end. And I was like, this is Megan. It was hilarious to me. No, so I was wanting to bring up past selves because of the Rupi poem. The thing that I wanted to share with you in person was like, I know, because we're talking about evolving all the time, but I like all your past selves too.
Same.
So it's like, as excited as I am for like the growth that you feel and I don't want to say achieve, but just that you feel like you're moving into, I thought of you because I'm like, I still want to like honor all the past selves.
Yeah.
But so that's all. That's just me bringing it back around to that.
I think that's what's important though, to like who you are even in the messy stages, and that will help you get to the next stages, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think the same works for relationships and love and like all of that kind of, it's almost like, I guess almost like, you know, you're not holding any resentment or grudges against others and against yourself, right? Like when you talk about that knowledge speaker or the new age stuff that you said you were listening to, when they were saying like, you can't really move on until you like your, what was it? Past self, current self?
Basically like you have to be happy with where you're at now in order to unlock the next level of you.
Right. Yes. So it's like, In my mind, I'm like, that also kind of like, I feel like it also has to do with grudges and forgiveness, because like, how do you really move on if you're still gripping onto this thing about yourself you don't like, or this thing about someone else that you don't like? Are you really moving into that next space? No, you're still dragging bits of that past with you, right? If you aren't able to really forgive and let go of those things.
And how tiring
to
hold something. Imagine holding like a box for a long time when you could just put it down.
Your hand's going to cramp,
or
man.
Donate it. Like, you don't need this box anymore. Yeah. It's so crazy. It took me forever with forgiveness. You know that. Like when I've gotten hurt in the past, like it was like a couple years if someone had hurt me for me to get over it, like a 2-year buffer period from like the incident to being okay. It takes me a long time, but I realized I wouldn't say like far after I should have, but like forgiveness for me, I didn't realize that forgiveness was for me. Mm. Like I thought that forgiving somebody else would let them off the hook, and that's not what it is at all. I was like, if I forgive someone, it's going to absolve every hurt that they did to me. But it's like, no, they can have still hurt me and I can still understand and then also forgive just so I can be released, you know?
Do you feel lighter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was also talking yesterday to a friend of mine saying that the feeling of love and the feeling of appreciation is so much more fun than like shitting on something. Like, you can find something wrong with anything, right?
Yeah.
And I think...
Sorry, I just...
You're like, yes.
Well...
Oh my God, yes. How much time do you have?
No, I was just laughing because like, oh, this sounds so wrong to say, but I really do enjoy like...
Hate watching things? Yeah. Is that where you're going? I see it in your eyes.
Oh no, that's bad. Yeah, no, there's like, you just for fun though, like... Shitty things on Netflix that like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, those are guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like there's a difference between just, like...
Oh, you mean, like, in real life, shitting on...
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
saying
yeah.
what you don't like, or, like, I don't know. If you pinpoint what you don't like, the universe is going to give you more of that on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just got this tattoo that's basically saying the same thing. This one here.
Oh, yes. This.
I'll do a tattoo tour at some point. But, yeah, it's, like...
Tattoo tour.
Tattoo tour. Those are huge on YouTube.
Tattoo tours?
Yeah. So many things are huge on YouTube that like I haven't done because, oh my God, are we ready to go here? I just like, I feel like my entire 20s on YouTube was just like confusing. My like your 20s, in your opinion, what would you describe your 20s as?
I used to get really annoyed when people would say this to me because I was like, yeah, whatever. But everyone would always talk about how like your 20s is an entire decade exploration of
yes,
like who you are, what you like, yada, yada, yada. Because
wait, why would that annoy you?
Because by the time I was 18, I was so, I thought I was so sure, you know, it's that youthful confidence, yeah, like prideful almost.
And what were you doing at 18 that you were like, I'm going to do this forever?
Oh, music. Like yes. I went to college already knowing my major. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I was like, I'm going to be doing something in the music industry, whether it's A&R, music supervision. And I was so sure. I like to the point that I only applied to two schools and both of them for music business.
Yeah.
Like that's how it's this or nothing, right?
That's how I was.
Yeah. So
maybe are all 18-year-olds like that?
Maybe. Just
I was
like
so strong-headed.
No, because there's a lot of people at that age who are also like very undecided.
Sure.
Like they go into this next part of their life knowing that they're not sure yet what they want to do. I just didn't necessarily expect almost the entirety of my 20s to still be like going all over the place with what that desire or passion was. And I don't think I really came back to it or like came full circle to what it was until I was maybe 27 or 28.
Into like feeling like you're confident in which direction you want to go in.
Yeah. Which ironically, it was something that I like knew I wanted to do at the age of like six, but it took me from six to 27, 28 to be like, oh, right. This is what it is.
That's how I feel too. In your early 20s, before 26, like where would you decide which avenue to explore? Like, was it a feeling or was it like a curiosity or was it an interest? Like how do you, from going from like being really like decided on business to going to like a managerial thing and a styling situation, like how are you just like trying on different hats or like, what do you think?
It's a very good question. I don't know if I've thought about that.
I've never thought about it either. But now that you're saying like you figured it out around like 27, what you want to do, I just really sunk into like what I want to do this past year, which is the same thing. Like I've been doing it since I was a child, but now I'm like, why have I been trying all these things? And like, this is it the whole time.
Well, I think it's like, why not try all these things, right? Because I think for me, it was a matter of trying a bunch of things. And not until I tried it would I realize, oh, this falls into a hobby category. Try it. Oh, this falls into, I just genuinely like it, but I have like no desire to continue practicing at it. And then, you know, try it again, try something else. And then that falls into like, oh, maybe this can be a career. And then you try it out as a career. And then you're like, oh, just kidding. No, no, no. I don't like this industry at all. And it turns into an actual distaste for it.
Yeah. How do you try something on as a career? Like if you wanted to turn a hobby into a career, how do you know if that's right or if it's wrong? For you?
I mean, I guess for me, because like there was a moment in time that I tried to pursue styling, you know, and I had just kind of, what's it called? Networked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Networked and met people who, you know, I expressed my interest in this field and then they'd be like, hey, do you want to come assist me on this project? And so like I did a handful of projects. I styled photo shoots or I got to assist on a pilot and do a more TV set based wardrobe thing. And I think just doing it, I was like, yeah, I like it, but I just like it for myself. I don't necessarily like doing it for other people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is where I see myself every day. I like it. It just was getting to do it and try to see it as a job that I realized, oh yeah, I don't want to be doing this every day. Maybe like once in a while I get to play around for myself, but not in a, oh, this is my life calling. I don't know. It didn't consume me.
Yes. So that's a good word. Like your hobby has to consume every waking moment in order for you to pursue it as a career. Is that something that you could agree with?
Yeah, I think so. Or at least curiosity and consumption, I guess. Being consumed by it, but also like this desire to also want to know more about it.
Yes.
Like a constant need to learn more about it.
Yeah.
And if it's like, if it's not a constant curiosity, like, I think that's when you can kind of see like, oh, maybe this is just like a, either I don't like this at all, mm-hmm. or I just like it as a hobby because I only want to return to it every once in a while, perhaps. It's not something every day that I'm, how do I get better at this, like right now for the rest of my life?
And you feel that way about acting.
Yeah. Like I know that this is something I not only enjoy doing, and I actually feel so much like I belong here when I'm on sets and stuff, but there's a constant desire and curiosity of like, how do I continue to get better at this and grow at this? Because like, I think with styling, I was like, oh, this is just what I like. There was never like, oh, I need to ask people about how to get better at this. There was never a, oh, I want to like watch videos or do all this research on Instagram and pull my favorite looks and like study designers and study trends and cut, like none of that. It was just like, oh, do I like that? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take a picture of it. And then a few months later, oh, let's shop and play around with clothes again. Like that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And I understood that was the extent of it. Mm-hmm. So it was a very short lived thing.
Right. It's like a cul-de-sac versus a freeway. Like Ooh. Sometimes like a hobby will just be a little cul-de-sac and you do a quick little loop and loopy. You go, love that.
You enjoy the neighborhood.
Yeah. You enjoy the neighborhood. You say hi to the neighbors and da 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 da. You bring cookies. And then, because I feel the exact same way about design. Mm-hmm. Like I wake up I've been waking up at like 5 a.m. lately, and I'll just go on Pinterest or on Instagram and like find so many designers and like really take it apart of going like, what do I like about this? And I write notes to myself. I have like a million design books. I'm watching like design psychology stuff, like podcasts. It's insane how
you
immersed.
Took a class.
Yes. Started an online class. Like, I love it so much. And I think it's so cool that like I'm 29 now. And I just now started feeling like I know what I'm doing. Mm. 29.
No, I love how much you love design, and I can tell how much you want to pursue it because you're learning for it. It feels like it never ends. Like in the time that I've known you, even from before you really expressed much of an interest, I think it was still there mm-hmm. because you were, I think even just doing your DIY nature of like creating and building things, it was always in the realm of like furniture or home good based pieces. It wasn't like you were DIYing clothes, which I know you are doing now, but I feel like that was more of a hobby because you weren't necessarily like studying it the way that you do design stuff. Like I learned who certain designers were because of you. I learned what burl wood was because of you. Like I learned what is it called? Trepid. Well, I guess I didn't learn it. What? No, it was the, what is that?
What?
Italian, it started with a T.
Venetian plaster?
No, it was
tell me, wait, no, this is going to be a fun game. Keep going. Travertine.
Travertine.
Yes.
Found it. Learned what travertine was due to your education in design.
It's so cool. Oh my God. It's my favorite thing. I love it. So I guess like, I want to know if we're in the same place because like we've known each other for about 10 years now. Oh my God, how crazy. And we've grown so much in like similar ways and then apart in different ways of what like we're excited about, but then we're always still so close. Like we've fostered such a good relationship that I think is so special. So after the break, I want to do a couple questions from this little card game that I have. But to like wrap up the first half, we are in the same place of like have found our passion or calling. Would you say that? Or would you say you're still like on the search for your purpose? Because I think a purpose is different than your passion.
Yeah. Purpose. Like, I don't think acting is my purpose.
Yeah.
I think acting is something that I really love to do. And I feel like that's the passion that I want to, one of the passions I want to pursue in this world, and continue to learn about and grow in. But yeah, I think in terms of purpose, yeah, I feel like with the amount of, I mean, is it weird to like be like the amount of maturity that we've grown into?
No, that's to bitch, acknowledge. I work for this maturity.
True. Yes. I think like the gained maturity for sure. I think, you know, it was our friendship was never like this parallel straight line trajectory. I think we both took our own like little squiggly lines to where we are now, but we've always like we took our own squiggly lines, but I feel like we've always kind of been on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. What does passion feel like for like anyone listening that maybe hasn't found their passion? It's taken us a long time. I mean, like we've always had the interest in us and now we've just like gone down that avenue, but finding your passion, I think, is such an interesting concept for anyone that maybe hasn't found it. Like, what does it feel like to love something as much as you love acting?
Hmm.
And how do you know it's your passion?
I mean, I keep bringing it back to this word and it's because I love it, but I think it really has to do with curiosity. Like, what are you still curious about? What are you most curious about? I think that's kind of where the beginning steps of where you can kind of begin to find or discover what those passions are, where they are. And I think curious can be a feeling, you know, I like what makes you feel curious and in an excited way. Like when you learn something new about something, does it kind of blow your mind? And like, you're like, wow, this is cool that I know this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it unlocked something. Or when you learn something new about a thing, are you just like, okay, all right, next. 'Cause then, I don't think that's curiosity. I think that's just, all right, you're learning.
Yeah.
Great. But how much, like, do you feel like there's more you want to know?
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's, for me at least, that's what it boils down to, I think.
Like curiosity that fuels you. Like when you learn something, you feel recharged or you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel motivated to keep exploring. Okay, what else? Okay, what else? Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? You know, like I would say that's what I see you doing with design. I think the reason there are so many books, it's because it's like, okay, what else can I see, learn, do, feel, touch, explore, discover? Like, you know, that desire of like, what do I not know about this yet? You know, like you want to conquer it, like a feeling of wanting to conquer it.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite things about life, honestly, is like finding something that you really like and trying to find all of it that you can in this world. Mm-hmm. And like broadening your horizons to understand different things. And like when my tastes change after growing and maturing, like that's my favorite thing, because when I redecorate, I see myself in the space. So if something doesn't feel right to me, it's because that doesn't feel like me. Yeah. And it's so cool to, with such a visual medium, it's when I keep evolving and my surroundings keep evolving, then I can even see it, my growth in a different way. I think that's why I like it so much too. I mean, there's so many reasons why I like it. My, like, if anyone listening is wondering like what to do in order to find their passion, just like follow what makes you curious and just get as much as you can of it, because it is the best feeling in the world.
I love that. Follow what makes you curious. That's a great tagline. I think that's going to be on your Instagram when you summarize the podcast.
I love that everybody that comes on the pod lately like pulls
their own quotes. Well, that wasn't my quote. That was you.
It's just so funny that like in the episode, like that's becoming a recurring joke. People are like, that's what's going to be on the Instagram.
Editing as we go.
Oh my God. Speaking of the Instagram, we're going to take a break, but send in questions or topics to Instagram. You can DM me at Just a Tip Instagram in the DMs, and then I'm gonna start doing those in the podcast. I think the podcast is gonna start to become very fluid as I'm finding myself. So I want to hear from
you. This is evolving too.
Yes, evolution is 360.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I have been really into card games that are conversational card games. I had Corrine from We're Not Really Strangers on an episode before, and I really loved that game and being vulnerable. And Amanda and I used to go play that game when we would go out to dinner. Yeah. I would just bring like
remember
red
when
box.
We would be able to go out to dinner?
I know.
Those good old
wow,
days.
Wow, RIP. And so I really loved that. And so I started finding more card games, whether it's like Self-Help Edition or Strangers Edition. Do you need to answer?
No. It was my birth control alarm.
Do you need to take it?
Yeah. I'll take it.
Do you want to take it now because it's birth control? Because that's the whole thing of birth control is taking it the same time every day.
I always forget. I take it a different time every day.
Oh, my God. Bad. Can't wait to meet your kids. Okay, ready? Here yes. we go. I'm keeping that in. Okay, so I got every single conversational card game that I could find, some that are about strangers and friends and self-reflection. So this is a friend's edition. This is called The Skin Deep, and this is not sponsored, but honestly, if this podcast turned into half me catching up with someone and then half playing a conversational card game, I would be happy about that. So
sponsors.
Yeah, I'm like,
take it away.
And also, like, how many are there? Like, please make so many more because this is so much fun for me. Okay, so this is the Skin Deep, the Friends edition. It's in an orange box. Amanda likes the design. I also like the design.
It kind of looks like Monopoly money.
It kind of does, except for...
But prettier.
Yeah. Okay, so it says to... The directions are like stare at each other for 10 seconds, but we're not going to do that unless you want to.
That's an acting exercise too. We have to do that sometimes.
Just like to be
class.
Vulnerable and to get you
well, yeah,
present.
I mean, it's like kind of like present, observation, yeah.
Oh my
connection.
God. It says how to play, sit facing one another with a foot of distance between you. That's basically
right.
kissing.
Yeah. That's right in front of each other.
Okay. It says choose 12 random cards from the deck. Take 30 seconds to relax and look at one another and then ask the questions. We're just going to ask the questions because this is a podcast and 30 seconds of dead time
okay.
is not what we're here for.
We're okay. making our own version.
So I picked 12 questions and I'm going to shuffle them like this and then...
She's shuffling in case you can't see.
Yeah, here.
Wait, you dropped one.
Okay, here. This is a jumper. So in when you go to tarot readings or any type of psychic, if a card falls out or like pops out or something, it's called a jumper card. And it's the one that you should pay the most attention Ooh. To because it's asking for so much attention.
Do we save it for the end or do we
no,
start with?
We start with a jumper card and this is it. Oh, it's like not deep at all.
It's okay. These aren't tarot cards, so. And maybe the rules don't apply. Like,
this is the most important card. It says, name three of my top pet peeves. Or name my top three pet peeves.
Oh, gosh.
And then I'll name yours. Or maybe just one.
We haven't really talked about this in a while. And yours have changed, I think.
I guess I don't even know my pet. Okay. How about you take your pet peeves and I'll take mine?
Well, I have one that I know, but... I don't think you would consider it a pet peeve. I think it's just something that you, when it is done, you are very appreciative of it.
What is it?
Timeliness, I guess, or like
punctuality. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So like, I don't think it's that you hate when people aren't on time.
I do not like it.
You do not like it. But it also, I also think that when people are on time, it's just like, cool.
Yeah. Like that's my people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I honestly think I have more respect for people that are on time because they respect my time.
You got things to do.
You know what I mean? Okay, a pet peeve of yours. when people just aren't good. Like you.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, I was thinking in my head, what is a pet peeve? I just don't like rude people.
Rude. Like when people aren't kind or like cognizant of your time or space or freedom or work, like whatever it is, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, just don't be rude.
Yeah, exasperated.
Yeah. Is that a pet peeve? Maybe. Yeah, but that's kind of where I was going too.
I also don't like when I open the door for people and they don't say thank you.
It's just like little things of like common decency, I think.
Yeah. Another pet peeve of mine is like posting something on Instagram and someone being like, what's this song? And it's in the description.
Like people who don't read.
Read.
Just read. It's there. All the information is usually there.
Okay. Next card.
Okay. What do you think I was born to do?
Oh my goodness. What do I think you were born to do? Oh my God, born to do?
That's, whoa, we were saying we can't have 30 seconds of dead silence, but like, oh, that's, I have to think about this one.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
I mean, I kind of have an idea, but I don't know how to word it necessarily.
I don't know how to phrase mine either, but the word that's like popping up in my head is like help. Like you're here to help. Like you're such a good help when it comes to anything, like for all of your friends. You're so reliable and helpful and like sweet and thoughtful that I think there's something there. I don't know like what you were born to do, but it's something of like helping other people like either see themselves or help like show that there's like, I don't know. I'm like, is your purpose like to help show that there's good people in the world? Or is it to like know that like you have like a reliability in you?
Yeah. You said something though that I do like, and I have thought about myself as well. I like have always felt, I've always felt drawn to want to help others see themselves as good, like what's great about them. Like I yeah. want people to know why they rock, you know, like, so I agree with you there. There is something there and I don't know in what capacity, like I will do that for the rest of my life, but mm-hmm. I do really enjoy helping others see their best selves.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like I can see it often.
Yeah.
And a lot of times. So yeah, I want people, I like it breaks my heart when people can't see why they're awesome. Like it kills me for people. But like, why can't we do it for ourselves?
It's so hard to do it for ourselves.
Oh, so much easier for other people.
Of course.
But for you.
A little closer.
Oh, sorry. For you, I was going to say I think the word that popped out for me and that keeps like flashing in my head when I think of this question for you has to do something with warmth. You make people feel warm. You make people feel at home. So I think there's something, which makes sense, like you design, but also not just in like the work realm. I think even in relationship and friendship, and I don't know if like maybe I'm biased because I did live with you and I was at home with you, mm-hmm. but there's something even within your friendship that makes a person feel at home yeah. and warm. So there, it's like, it's a very great honor and privilege to be your friend.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Truly though.
Next question. What is the strongest common value of ours that connects us?
Common value. Ooh. That connects us.
I was talking to another friend of mine the other day about the other day. It was like 2 years ago. every month feels like a day in quarantine, but that like all of our friend group, like our immediate friend group and like your immediate core and then my core and kind of like everyone in the like extrapolated circle of it is there's like a vulnerability and an openness and levity and a silliness. Like all of my friends are very like thoughtful and intentional and kind, funny, vulnerable, and silly. Like that's the the qualities that everybody shares. So I don't know, maybe it's just like an ever-evolving type of growth. Like, we are always trying to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this is a value, but just like a desire to go deeper.
Mm.
Is that a, I don't, yeah.
Yes.
I don't, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing we do.
That's a value.
Okay.
I find that valuable.
Okay.
Think of all the times you've had small talk with people and like they didn't want to go deeper.
Yeah. But then we can also, but like you said, and it's like the extreme, like we can and do love to dig deeper, but then we can also do absolutely nothing and just binge watch like an entire season of Gilmore Girls.
And that's called range, baby.
Yeah. Range.
Okay.
What do you treasure about our friendship?
Probably everything that I just said.
I know. There's so many things. Honestly, there's so much history. I treasure our history. I treasure our history.
Yeah.
We've gone on many adventures. I think I've gotten to see more of the world because of our friendship.
Yeah.
And not just like physically, but also I think just in like inspiration and motivation and like the desire to do things together. So like it just makes things more fun, right? So yeah.
I think I treasure the like security that we have. Like I feel like it's such a safe space, and no matter if it was like when we first met or like first started living together so many years ago to now, we've changed so many times, but our bond has not. And I think as we've grown and started getting into our own like other friendships and relationships, like we used to only hang out with each other.
Yeah.
Which is still super fun when we were roommates. But now it's like as we get older and we get into all these relationships and starts to be like, this is our life and this is our career. And like, I don't act and you don't design. So like we don't, our worlds don't collide as much as they used to. Like
we were both dancing. Yeah.
But the cool thing is no matter how far away that we go in our own interests, we always have each other as like a fail safe. Like I will always be here for you.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's that same pageness again. Like, we're definitely on our own squiggly line, but just somehow it's not hard to get to you because we're still on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. And like, and the other thing too, you know, I think for people who have followed you for a long time from like the very OG beginning, they know that me and you have been friends for so long. But I think like, obviously online, you guys, like everyone has always seen like the funny, goofy, silly, deep bits. But like me and you have had our fair share of arguments and fights. Mm-hmm. Like we've had a handful of like really difficult like arguments and rough patches. But yeah, I think there is like, I think there is a testament to that security of like, I think the reason we were able to go through that together and have these hard conversations without necessarily growing apart is because there is like a trust factor there.
Well, I think that's the same thing as like a friendship is a relationship too. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to be honest. Like if you're in a relationship / friendship that's going to last, like problems are going to arise and there's going to be times where our humanness kind of goes head to head. And I think it's really important to know that like if you are having a disagreement or an argument or something like that, it's because you care to evolve the friendship. If you didn't, people would just cut each other out and go like, oh, that's not worth my time or like my emotional energy. But if it is, it's like, okay, we've got to repair this. Mm-hmm. It's paying $250 for new tires or brake pads, you know, instead of just totaling your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we could just do that.
Yeah, it's true.
But hell no.
Nah.
Okay, what's your greatest fear about getting older?
Greatest fear about getting older. I think it's funny because when I was younger, I knew this answer immediately, and it was dying alone without ever having fallen in love. Because I had been single for so long. Mm-hmm. So I truly was like, maybe that's what's in the cards for me. And so that like truly was a fear of mine. But at least I have fallen in love now, guys. So
yes!
I know what it feels like now. So I don't know if that's necessarily a fear anymore.
So now your pole has moved.
It has. What is the new fear? What's your greatest fear about getting older?
I don't think I'm scared anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if I have. I mean, honestly, I think my greatest fear is about getting older is knowing that inevitably I will have to say goodbye to my parents.
Yes.
I think that's really the only, not just the greatest, but maybe the only fear I really have. Cause it's inevitable. And when you get older, so do your parents. I mean, it can happen any day, but I am very lucky. And I know that I had a very good childhood and a very good household and a very good relationship with my parents. And so I think that is something I'm definitely very scared of with each passing year and the older I get.
Yeah. That would probably be the one fear that I have too. I can't even imagine.
Don't want to think about it.
Anyway,
next question.
What's a mistake you've made that changed your life? Ooh.
Oh.
What's a mistake you've made that changed your life?
In a good way or a bad way?
Let's take it the good way. Because that would be fun.
If it changed your life in a good way, is it really a mistake then?
That's what I'm saying. But then again, if it changed your life in a bad way, it's still not a mistake because you've learned from it. There's no mistakes if you take failure as feedback.
Right. Woo! Sorry.
You're like, that's going to be an Instagram post.
She's in my head, guys. She's in my head. What's a mistake you've made that changed your life?
I have one.
Oh, you take it away then, because I'm still thinking.
It's like, it's not a mistake because it's a learning lesson, but I remember when I was vlogging so much and I was in a relationship and my relationship wasn't like great all the time. We fought a lot and we would only not fight usually when the camera was on. And I would only pull out the camera when we were in a good place. So I remember at one point my boyfriend at the time, had told me, I only feel like your boyfriend when the cameras are rolling. And that was the moment I decided to not vlog in public anymore. It was then, and I never did it. And then that's why I stopped doing Megan Bites, and that's why I started doing only DIY and only doing things, because I created that divide.
Mm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's almost like unintentional casting.
Casting for what?
Like your real life, quote unquote real life, casting for your vlogs.
Right. Yeah.
In a way, I think if I had to answer this, this is so hard because I don't think it was a mistake, but I do kind of question what if. I mean, it just goes back to the college thing because I had only picked and applied to two. Oh, you know what? Actually, it still revolves around colleges. So I applied to a college in Nashville. I also applied to NYU. So it was between Nashville and New York City, right? I think I don't consider this a mistake necessarily, but a part of me always wonders, what if I had moved to LA sooner?
Oh, I thought you were about to say, what if I went to Nashville? And I was no. Nashville is great, but you're a New York girl.
Yeah. And being in New York for those years definitely changed my life. But I often wonder, did I make a mistake? Because I had started an application to USC, but because I had gotten into Belmont and Nashville and NYU, I just didn't finish my USC application. And I think I always wonder, had I finished, had I got in, would I have gone to LA? And was that a mistake not to have gone to LA sooner? Because would I have found acting sooner? Mm. So I think about those things for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like we find the things that we need to find at the time that we need to find them.
Yeah.
And you would have always found acting, But maybe if you came here earlier, it would have been a different situation. Like maybe you would have been more jaded or tainted by it. Yeah. And
I also know that New York is where I like came out of the, like the dance community and like, or like really built myself within the dance community. And so like, who knows if I would have ever met you mm-hmm. or like certain people had I not lived in New York first, because had I came to LA and I don't know if I would have pursued dance in the same way that I did in New York, you know, in the community scene. Who knows?
It's so crazy, like looking back at everything that we've done in our lives and every era and how much that it needed to be that way to be where we are now, like butterfly effect stuff. Like wherever you are now, honor that, because like Rupi's poem, like it's not going to be here forever. And there's a very good reason why this is happening to you right now. There's a very good reason why you're going through what you're going through. It's prepping you for the next stage of your life. Yeah. So like learn everything you can about it and don't try and rush it.
You might not have the foresight for it, but you will have the hindsight for
Ooh.
It.
Ooh.
Okay, next question.
Okay.
We doing it?
Yes.
What's one thing you really want me to experience? Ooh.
Like, okay. I think
I have a surface level one.
Okay.
My surface level one for you. I still really want you to experience Korea. I want you to go to Korea so badly. I think you would really love it.
Oh, I would love that.
Really love it. But that's the surface level one.
What would I want you to like? Absolute freedom, I think. Like in every way, I want you to experience freedom. And it's like, I'm not speaking from my experience of like, I don't have absolute freedom, but like, I would want this for the both of us. But I think for you specifically, like freedom in doing anything you want and not being held back by like anything, not if you like made a previous plan or if you wanted to do something, but you can't because you have other things that you need to do. Or if it's like you want to go travel after the pandemic, I want you to have like freedom of going anywhere and freedom of financial freedom to do that and
Heck
explore.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know. I want you to experience the most amount of life with the least amount of road bumps.
Wow.
And I want that for me too. But yeah. I feel like for you, like a freedom to do anything and to like, make your own decisions and feel like you're the one making them and not having anybody else in the back of your mind of like, is this going to be okay for them? Or you, cause you put people, you help people so much. And I feel like you always want them to be happy to where sometimes like it's at the expense of your happiness.
Mm. I feel that.
And I want you to just be like free.
Yeah. I want the same for you as well.
Yeah.
You're right. That's for both of us.
Yeah.
What's one thing you really want me to experience? One thing I really want you to experience
other than Korea.
I really want you to, oh God, this is so lame and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is such a, oh my God.
What is it? Family life?
I really want you to experience motherhood.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be such a good mom, such a great mom.
I'm so excited
and
for that.
I think you have such a big heart and I'm very excited for you to get to experience that in particular. And it is life-changing and I know it might come with not being able to experience as many freedoms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the opposite ways. Of freedom. but I think there's something about that particular relationship that I'm so excited to see how that changes your life and who you become in that role.
I'm just so excited to like teach everything that I know
to a kid that has no choice.
Exactly. I'm just kidding. Honestly, yes. Okay.
Oh, no, you are not expecting, just so people know.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Okay, tell me, it says three moments that change your life, but let's just go with one. Tell me one moment that's changed your life.
Here's my corny answer. Vegas.
Oh, I was like, meeting you.
Yeah.
Oh my
but
God.
But truly, I think about it all the
oh
time.
Oh my God,
I
yeah.
talk about it all the time. Like this, I was only in LA for maybe 2 years before you moved here. And that this friendship is like, there's certain people in my life that I call game changers, and you are absolutely one of them. I mean, I get that, like, things happen when they happen because they're supposed to happen that way, right? The trajectory that I've been on in my life and the people I have met, the things that I have experienced are in large part due to our friendship, like this one in particular. So, yeah, I mean, for sure, that's a life-changing moment for me.
Yeah, that was so, so monumental. It's so cool that any moment could be monumental if you like follow it and it becomes that. Like every decision that you make opens up another two decisions, essentially. And just like, oh, how exciting that any given thing could change your life.
Yeah, because it's like when I needed a roommate and you and the other Amanda had hit me up about that. That was like such a small, I think it was just like what was a Facebook post turned into this, you know?
Wow.
Like, that's crazy. Cause like, I didn't think anything of it. We weren't like buddy, buddy. We were just like, yeah, we saw each other at dance classes once you moved here and that was it. And so, and even in like the beginning of that, it's just crazy because how we just naturally gravitated towards each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, shout out to other Amanda, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. But it's just, yeah, it's fascinating because like you guys came in as a pair, but yeah, then like we left as a pair, me and you. So
yeah, as backstory, Amanda had posted, this Amanda here had posted on Facebook, I think you had said like apartment hunting is the pits. I remember like
specifically
your like language of it. And I was looking for a room or like a place to stay. And I moved with another girl from Step Up 4 that I'd met on the film. And she was the only person from Florida that also wanted to go to LA.
Because so, you had just been couch hopping, right?
Yes.
Like you didn't even have a room. You were just sleeping on couches.
Which is so crazy to think because I would never do that now. Oh my God. Everything, like when I look back at my early 20s, I was like, damn, I was kind of a savage. Like I just like went places. Like I drove from my first day of university in my junior year to Miami to do an audition and then made it and then dropped out of school so that I could be in a movie. And then after the movie, I was like, I want to move to LA. Let's just do it. No place to stay. Just being like, I'll stay in the one place that I know of like someone else that I met on the film. And then I'll just keep on couch hopping. And then so when your post happened, me and the other girl from the film moved in to a two-bedroom. Mm-hmm. Amanda had one room, and then me and the other girl shared another room.
On a bunk bed.
Adult bunk beds. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so hilarious. And then, yeah, then Amanda and I would just, like, we would go to, like, coffee shops and lunch together, and the other girl would be doing what?
Probably in class.
Yeah, like, dance classes. And we would just be hanging out all the time.
Yeah. But I will say, like, you still have that spirit of, like, you just go places, like, maybe not necessarily physically, but I think with your endeavors, like, I tell you this all the time, like, one of the things that I like about you so much is, like, when you say you want to do something or you're curious about something, it's not just talk, it's not lip service, like, you actually will go and do it. So, like, you will do what it takes to figure it out. So yeah, I think like that you still very much have that, embody that spirit of doing and going.
Yeah. It's just so fun to be able to have an idea and see it come to fruition. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, maybe that's because when I grew up, I was very much like a results oriented person that I wonder if that's the backbone of it, but it's just so much fun. Oh my God. Life is so fucking fun sometimes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Last question.
Oh, guys, this is a doozy. If you had 3 years left to live, what would you be doing differently?
3 years left? Oh, my God. I can't even have a kid because then I will die.
Here's my thing. Maybe this is too, maybe a cop-out of an answer, but if you need a timeline and you need to know that you only have 3 years left to live to do something differently, then like there's a problem. Like, shouldn't you be
doing
happy doing what you're doing today now, like regardless of knowing how much, like why should that change what I'm doing today?
I love where you're coming from. I'm going to play the other
counter
side.
Yes,
because
please.
I feel like when you have all of your life, then you think that, like, I'm speaking for myself. If I think I have all of my life, if I'm going to live to like 90 or something like that, I don't have just 3 years. I'm thinking of basically setting myself up for success when I'm older. So if I like work really hard now for the next 3 years, if I'm not going to die, then I go, okay, I'll just like put myself into work, make a lot of money, and so that I can support a family in like the lifestyle that I want to have. So like, cause I know that if I were to die in 3 years, then why would I be working for that if I'm not going to see it? You know? So if I were going to die in 3 years, I would make like all the videos I would want to make in order to help everybody with anything that I've learned. But I would just experience the world as much as I could.
Yeah. I think the reason I like have the answer that I have is because everything that I'm pursuing is not necessarily for 10 years down the road. Mm. It's for example, I, with acting, because I was so consumed by it, I felt a bit arrested by it at the same time, because I felt like if I wasn't here and present in LA and doing everything I can, I would be missing out on auditions or opportunities or callbacks or whatever, certain roles, right? So like I would almost always say no to trips. Like, oh, I can't take that much time off. Going out to dinner or hanging out with people, like, oh, sorry, like I have to work on this audition. I can't afford to go out tonight because I need to focus and like make sure I'm well rested, whatever. Like I was just always making dumb excuses. They're not dumb, but I was always making excuses for why I couldn't do certain things because it was all for this acting thing. And I think while, yes, I still am pursuing this career and wanting to have this in my life, there's something that like specifically during this pandemic, like that freed me from it, because I think at the end of the day in my mind, there's just so much out of our control. And what is most important to me in this life, whether it be now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, are relationships mm-hmm. to others, relationships to myself, and experiences. And so I don't know, like those things are the most important to me. Like, you know, for me, faith is really important. So, like, am I growing and pursuing and curious about spirituality and faith and what that means to me in my life? Am I curious and putting an effort and time in the relationships I want to be putting effort into? Yes, I do think that. And am I traveling? I wasn't before, but I am, like, definitely more willing to be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm always going to take the trip now.
So you're saying that you're more present in what you want instead of having acting or whatever, like have a hold of your decisions.
Yeah, I think so. And so I think, you know, if I knew that I only had 3 years left to live, for me, like, I don't know if I would necessarily change or do anything differently, because I'm with and seeing the people that I want to see now. Mm. I'm traveling more. I'm seeing more places that I haven't gone to before, you know? I'm actively still pursuing faith and asking questions and asking God, what is the point? Like, that is still something in my life. I mean, the one thing I would change is seeing my parents more.
Mm.
Because, you know, they live in St. Louis and I live out here, so it's definitely difficult. And my older sister lives in Korea and my younger sister is still in the Midwest too. So it's like, the only thing that would really change is seeing my family more, because that's a little more difficult at present. But
I'm going,
like,
to make the question harder.
Okay.
If you had 3 hours left to live, what would you do differently?
But what could I do differently?
Like, what would you do? If you had 3 hours left to live, what would you do? Starting now. It is 10:18. We're going to end the pod right now in this like hypothetical.
Well, you have to answer too. Well,
yeah,
I guess
I'll
you
answer
did.
Too.
Okay.
No, we have 3 hours left to live. So 10, 11, 12, 1. At 1:18, you're out of here. What are you going to do?
You're out of here.
Oh my God, 3 hours. That's not a lot of time.
No, I would call who I need to call. I don't really think I can't
You can't fly anywhere.
Fly anywhere in 3 hours. So I would call, FaceTime who I need to call, my close friends and family. I would.
And that takes maybe an hour.
Yeah, maybe an hour.
Would you tell them that you're dying?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't keep that from them. And I would probably grab a coffee and a croissant.
That's your last meal?
Maybe.
I would eat everything. I would die from like having too much food in my stomach. I would die in like an hour. I had three to live, but I ate too many Chips Ahoy.
I don't want to be bloated when I die.
Who cares?
But I love me a good coffee and croissant, man. Maybe get a piece of cake or something.
So coffee, croissant, and a cake. Call the people that you love.
Yeah. And then I think I would just like run outside naked.
Would you like do anything crazy? Like,
yeah, run outside naked.
Well, yeah, that's it. You just run outside naked?
Because like what more can you really, like, why am I trying to cram? Like, if I'm going to have an experience, like instead of having instead of having like 50 short-lived experiences like that are like quick, like exhilaration, I just want to like savor three, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want to really remember it. So like I would take my time with the conversations that I have. Honestly, it would probably take more than an hour.
Yeah, I think that's maybe
why I would only have a coffee and croissant, is because I won't have time to eat more. I think I honestly would just spend it talking to the people that I want to talk to.
Oh, that's so true.
Because on average, I have like when I'm catching up with friends, like I have like 30 to 60 minute conversations with them. So I'm like, if I know I'm going to die, like,
yeah,
savor. I don't know. My life is very much about relationships.
No, people, I think the more that I hear you talk, I'm like, yeah, I don't need that chicken sandwich. At first I was like, I'm going to have this and this and this and this. I'm like, wait a second here. You're right. All that matters is who we have in our lives.
Yeah, but you could always also like order delivery. So while you're having conversations, you can multitask.
Yes, 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 yes.
Do both at the same time.
I think my last meal would be Wingstop.
No.
I just think the fries and the ranch are so good.
I do like their fries. Their ranch is good. You're right. I don't know. My last meal always changes. I know I said coffee and croissant, but like meal, it always changes. Mm. Probably something Korean, to be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Naturally.
Well, good thing that we don't have 3 days left to live. Or 3 hours.
Or 3 years even. Well, we never
know. We don't know. But I'm so glad that we've spent this time together.
I mean, if this is one of the last things I do,
I'm fine.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Glad to do it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for coming.
I love you.
I love you so much. I hope this was helpful.
I don't know. But either way, like, I hope everybody got to enjoy like a snippet of how me and you is.
I know. Everyone listening, again, write me at JustATip on Instagram. I want to hear what you want, because this is a two-way conversation, even though it's really sounds like you and me. There is multiple people here.
All right.
This was such a fun conversation that ends with us deciding what we would do if we had 3 hours left to live. So basically, we span all of the subjects. I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for listening. Find all of Amanda's socials in the show notes, and we will see you next time on Just a Tip.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.